Amen.
One more time.
One song says we did not have to make it in.
Right.
God is good anyhow. Let us stand. Watch what we read, which we come from Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read together verses 15 through 23 of Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And our standard will be a continuation of our message on Sunday. On Sunday we preach it, on Friday we teach it. One of the things that the scripture says concerning Judah, Jehoshaphat, and the people of God was that there was a great multitude coming against them, which signifies an enormous, an extraordinary test. Great multitude signifies an enormous or an extraordinary test. But God told them, when they did turn to God, he said, be not afraid, nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours.
Hallelujah.
When you bring it to me, God said, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed, because the battle is not yours,
yes.
But the battle is the Lord. So when the things are too big for us to handle, it's time to bring it to
Jesus.
I said, when things are too big for us to handle, it's time to bring it to
Jesus.
And the question and the subject we're going to deal with tonight. Amen. Anybody have some personal challenges? In church, we got some individual challenges, our personal challenges. And then in church, we have some collective challenges. Those are the challenges in our families. And then we have some corporate challenges. Those are the challenges that are in the church. Amen. But then, is there anything in the midst of our challenges that God cannot do? Once again, in the midst of whatever we experience, amen, in the midst of whatever we're going through, is there anything that God cannot do? Amen. We say that with our lips, but many times our disposition, our spiritual character do not reflect that we believe that if there's nothing that God cannot do. Amen. We become despondent. We become down in the dumps because we think our situation is unique and it's different and it's too big for God. Amen. But I heard Paul tell the church of Corinthians, there has no temptation taken you. But such as is. Amen. Amen. Such as is common to man, but God is
faithful.
Whatever you're going through, hallelujah. It's not too big for God. In our scripture that we deal with tonight, we're going to deal with God does something that only God can do.
Right.
Amen. We're not dealing with some things that man can do. We're going to deal with some situations tonight that only God can do. Verse 15 reads, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the Father
of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his
mighty power.
That's good enough for me. I mean, Lord, I bless you to read of his word, and can the church say the word of the Lord? Bible said, when we bring it to God, he'll make a way to it. saved, that we might be able to
bear.
Amen. You don't even have to question that, because earlier you said God is
faithful.
Hallelujah. We're going to dissect this a little, and then we're going to jump around to some other scriptures. So I want you to hold Matthew chapter 19. Tonight, we're not dealing with what we can do, because the Bible says of ourselves, we can do nothing. And by ourselves, we can do nothing. But tonight, we're focusing and concentrating on what we can do through Christ. Amen. As we went over on Sunday once again, the Bible says the multitude, amen, those that were coming against Judah and Jehoshaphat was great. Amen. It was great. They didn't say this was a large, but they were a great multitude. Amen. And all Jehoshaphat could do in as he saw the test coming, or the trial coming, the scripture lets us know he turned to the Lord. Amen. Tonight, who or what are we turning to with this enormous trial, this big test that we're going through? Who are we turning to? And the scripture said, as Jehoshaphat turned to the Lord and seeked out the Lord through fasting and praying, God sent him back this answer. He said, you have no need to fight this battle. Amen. He said, because the battle is not yours, but the battle is mine, says the Lord. Tonight, God stands to fight our battles. Amen. God wants to prove himself in our lives. But we have to do something as well. Amen. Verse 17 reads, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of
glory
outside of God, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the what?
Knowledge
of him. Amen. See, he's not writing to the world, he's writing to the
church.
Amen. He said, the God, Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him. Amen. God is able. Amen. God can do anything. But God is able to do whatever we think. He's able to exceed that. Then after he sees that, he's able to go above that and then go beyond that. Amen. So we need to understand the wisdom and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being
lightened.
Now, we're not talking about them seeing, because they're already seeing. We're dealing with now the knowledge of what God can do in our trials, in our lives, in the midst of the great trial. In light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And listen to these adjectives that describe
our God.
Amen. I said, is there anything that God cannot do?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Maybe we think some of our situations are, you know, I got a unique trial, I'm like anybody else. But Paul writes, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to
us?
Amen. God does not what is the exceeding greatness of his powers to us? So when he early said the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, the church, we fail to realize all the power that's in the name of Jesus. We fail to realize the greatness and the deliverance is in the name of Jesus. So we need our understanding to be enlightened in the knowledge of him. So what? We can understand what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us. Amen. Who?
Believe.
Exceeding greatness of his power to us. Who believe according to the working of his
mighty power.
Amen. So what Paul is saying is that God, when it comes to us, can do anything. said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him
from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And sent him at his own right hand in the
heavenly place.
Then we talked about what the exceeding greatness of his.
Hallelujah.
That man can't raise anybody from the dead.
Come on.
And no man can sit anyone in heavenly places on God's right hand. So now we're talking about the real power. He said, far above all principality and powers and might and dominions and every name that is named. Now this is how great God is. We need to understand God. We need to try to get a grasp of how great God is. He said, not only in this world, but also in the, we're not talking about this natural world, we're talking about the spiritual world.
Come on, come on.
Amen. The greatness of his power, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and has put all things, amen. So when he said all things, what things are not put under his feet? Your trials.
But it came to pass when Ahab was dead
that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a special king. Amen. He tried to do the things that were right in God's eyes. And because the Bible lets us know that he wholly followed God, God honored him. Amen. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Would thou go up with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as
my horses.
You know why he told Jehoram that? Because the Bible lets us know earlier that Jehoshaphat had made affinity with Ahab. Well, what Jehoshaphat did is kind of hard to understand. But he allowed his daughter to marry Ahab's son, Jehoram. So when Jehoram went to Ahab, moved to Jehoshaphat, who was his father-in-law, he said, well, your people as my people, your horses as my horses, because of the binding together of the covenant, because of the marriage. Amen. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Amen. So the next verse reads, and he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, through the way of the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. So they go up on a 7 days' journey, amen, to fight against the king of Moab. But he said, there was a problem. There was what?
Water.
No water. Amen? And the king of Israel said, alas, which means help, what are we going to do? That the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat, that's why you got to always, no matter how big the trial is, you got to seek out the Lord. Amen. Every time Jehoshaphat was confronted with a great or enormous trial, he sought out who?
The Lord.
Can we say the Lord?
The Lord.
Amen. He sought out the Lord. See, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servant answered and said, here is Elijah the son of Shaphat, which poured out water on the hands of Elijah.
And Elijah was great in Israel.
Amen. And Jehoshaphat said, the word, if he was with Elijah, he got to be somebody. He said, then the word of the Lord is what?
With him.
Deliverance should be what? The word of the Lord. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And then Elijah said unto the king of Israel, what am I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. He said, go and get your help from Ahab and Jezebel. Amen. He said, you didn't depend on me any other time. He said, don't come to me now. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I
stand.
Who are we standing before?
The Lord.
You need deliverance to stand before?
The Lord.
Not before your husband, not before your wife, not before your family members, but stand before
the Lord.
He says, surely, were it not that I regarded the presence of righteousness, were it not that I regarded the presence of uprightness, when another I regarded the presence of someone who's trying to live holy. Amen? He said, if I did not regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he said, I wouldn't even look at you. Amen. That's why you gotta be right when you come to God. Amen. Sometimes we come to God and we want God to deliver or make a way for us, but we're not right. So God is wasn't for that righteous one. He said, I wouldn't even look at you. Hallelujah. Amen. Got the hand of the Lord. And now bring me a minstrel, someone to play some music. A lot of times people say, you don't need no music. Yes, sometimes God moves to music. When the evil spirit came upon Saul, who played?
David
played on the harp. And the Bible said the evil spirit departed. So sometimes it's good to have the right kind of music to usher in the spirit of the Lord. That's why I pray, sin, you got to stay on fire.
Amen.
But they got to bring in God's presence. Amen. Said, and when the minister prayed, the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus said the Lord, make this valley full of riches. Now this is when sometimes God doesn't make sense. Amen. Now we already got a problem. We already told you there's no water. And we're in the valley, and you want us to go out and dig ditches? Amen? Now that don't make sense, does it? But amen. All God wants is our obedience. Amen. God said, I'm going to do what I have to do, but faith without
words,
you got to do something too.
Come on.
So now they already said they're weak. They're famished. They've been how many days journey? 7. With no water. Something wrong for Elijah. What's the next one? We're already weak. We're already tired. We're already at our wits' end, and you want us to go out? And we're supposed to be fighting a war and digging ditches. Right? Doesn't what? Makes sense. But God knows what to do. God was not concerned. He didn't need them to dig ditches. But he needed obedience. Because to obey is better than that. They did not argue. I'm sure they didn't understand it, but they did not argue. Amen. Because Jehovah said he has a word from God. So if he said, even though probably the other two kings said, you know what? We got to go find some water. I'm sure Jehoshaphat still, he said, no, not when you're talking about the word of God.
Right?
Not when you're talking about the man of God. Amen. For thus says the Lord. Now, I don't know no man that can work like this. Amen. Now, the inner valley. Amen. The valley is dry and there is what? And the man of God said, go out and dig some ditches. But then he says, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see
rain.
Yet this valley shall be filled with
water.
I said, that's why you say anything. Trial is great, yes. Trial is big. But there is anything that God cannot fill. He said, now listen, the normal way the water comes, God said, I'm not going to do it that way. Amen. You're not going to see a cloud. There's not going to be wind. And there's not going to be rain. He said, but I'm God. Amen. So he said, yet this valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your
beasts.
Amen. He said, and this is but a. Amen. Next verse. shall smite every fig city and every joint city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good ground, every good piece of land with stone. And it came to pass.
In the morning.
What I like about God, he can make a wheat.
God can win them off.
Come on.
But it said in the
morning.
Hallelujah. How many waiting for the morning? Amen. God does not work through conviction. traditional things. Amen. He said, and when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rolled up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites even into their country. We can stop right there. You know what? Now, when they got up, they said, you know what? This is easy. They destroyed each other. Let's just go get the spoil. Leave all of our weapons and that. We don't need nothing. Amen. To see that much blood in the valley means that they destroyed each other. But God was working something out. And they did not understand. In order for God to deliver us, sometimes when God tells us to do something, He's only testing our obedience. Amen. Because it didn't make sense to the indigenous when there was no water. Amen. And it didn't make sense to get up and offer an offering the next day. But God wants what? Obedience. So when Moab went to sleep, it was dry. When they woke up, it was full of blood. So they figured, yeah, they destroyed each other. But we do not have to figure out how God is going to deliver. All we have to do is be obedient to God's deliverance. Amen. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything that God cannot do? That's our subject tonight. If God can fill a valley with water, now He didn't say just a little water. He filled the valley. Amen. He filled the trenches that they dug. And He said, I'm not going to do it through conventional means. I just need your obedience. Just dig the ditches and be faithful. You do your part, you can be guaranteed that God will do His part. Amen? You do your part and you're guaranteed that God will do His part. Joshua chapter 10, verse 6. Amen. This is when Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem, before it became a possession of Israel, it was going out to attack the Israelites. He had heard of how Israel had destroyed Jericho and how they had destroyed Ai and how the Gibeonites, is a long story, but they kind of deceived Joshua into signing a covenant with them that they would not destroy them. Amen. Because they realized that, hey, everything in the path of the Israelites, they are licking it up and destroying it. So the Gibeonites had made a covenant with Joshua and deceived him. It's a long story, but you can read it in your spare time. They deceived Joshua into thinking that they were from a far country. You know, they came in with torn clothes and all the bread was dry and stale because they did not want to be destroyed. So Joshua believed them and he entered into a covenant, and then a man of God revealed to Joshua, and they found out that they had lied to them. But they had already made them a promise. Amen. So they had to honor the promise. So that brings us to verse 6. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Then we would have said, you know what, you're not part of us. But Joshua had made a promise. Joshua had entered into a covenant. Therefore, Joshua had to honor the covenant because he entered into the covenant in the name of the Lord. Whenever we enter a covenant, whenever we enter anything in the name of the Lord, we must honor the covenant. It says, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of the Lord. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear them. Whatever you're going through tonight, God has not given the church. God has not given us in our spirit, individual lives the spirit of fear. He says, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man when we rest in God, when we wholly trust in God, when we stop trying to figure it out and let God work it out, amen, God knows how to do it. The conflict and the opposition to God delivering or making a way is that we get involved. But it says, who is fighting? God was fighting for them. Amen? And spoke down to Azekah unto Makeda. And it came to pass, they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethlehem, that the Lord, that God is fighting for them. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get away from them. What does the Lord do? Cast down. These stones are hail stones. They weren't just normal stones. He cast down what? Only God can do that. That's why the question tonight in our trial, is there anything that God cannot do? Cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Ithaca, and they died. They were more which died with the
stones.
When God is fighting for you, you don't have to get involved with that. Amen. There were more that died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel. Why? Because the Lord was fighting the battle. Like I said tonight, we've got to let God do what God wants to do in our lives. If we don't be there to get out of the way, then God can fight the battle. Amen? Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. Now, can you go to the history books for me, or maybe go through some scientific books and find out if there's a man that can do what God's about to do to deliver his people? And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still. Amen. And upon Gibeon, as thou moon in the valley of Adullam. So he's asking God, stop the whole revolution. Because the earth revolves, amen? Amen. He says, stop it so that we can get victory. Right. That's why I say, is there anything that God cannot do?
Right.
Hallelujah. Man can't stop this like God did. But he said, sun, stand still and moon, stay in your place. Hallelujah. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed at the voice of Joshua. Now, do you understand what it means to stop the whole revolution of the universe? And they said billions and billions of light years away. In order for everything to stay in perfect balance in nature, if God stops one thing, God has to stop. I said, for every, this is how big our God is.
Come on.
That's why God had told the children of Israel, he said, this is a light thing for me.
Right.
For me to give you water is a light thing, not going to do a great thing.
Yes,
I'm going to stop the whole revolution of the world. Just for my people. Hallelujah. Is there anything that God cannot do? It says, it's not just written in the book of Joshua. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. Amen. So I read this, and then I read when we went over when Hezekiah was sick, and Isaiah told Hezekiah, he said, God is going to move the sun now back what? 10 degrees. So, I'm curious. I want to know, 10 degrees, is that hours? Is that 2 hours? Is that three? How much time did God change? Now, for Joshua, he just stops everything, and it doesn't move. Scientists, they can send a nuclear weapon, they can do anything, it can't stop everything. Amen. Only God can stop everything. Only God could take everything in the universe and move it back 10 degrees. Now you know he didn't just do it in one spot, because it said that the princes of Babylon came to see the wonder that was done when? In the land. So everybody saw this miracle that had taken place. But I was still curious, what is 10 degrees? So 10 degrees moving back is about 40 minutes. Amen? So I curiosity gets stirred. You don't get stirred anyway. I was trying to figure out the 10 degrees. So then I came across this, it's actually been reported since the early 19th century, in like the 1830s. It was reported by a scientist in the 1800s and done again in the 1900s. But then this gentleman by the name of Hill, who was a consultant for NASA out of Greencastle, Maryland, they were trying to test time. Amen? Now this is how God can line up stuff, right? So they were testing time, so they were testing time forward, and they were testing time backwards with their computer. So it said, when they set time backwards, when it got way back about to Joshua's day, the computer stopped and read flag. So when it got back to Joshua's day, the computer stopped and read flag. And they said, there's a problem. So all the scientists were trying to figure out, what is the problem? They said, well, we don't understand it, because when we got back to, they didn't know at that time it was Joshua's day, but they went back in time. They said, well, when we went back in time to this place, we find out that time was messed up. They were 23 hours and 20 minutes off. Now, notice it said, well, about a whole day. It didn't say a whole day. So I said, about a whole day. So they said, well, when they got back there, time was, the day was 23 hours and 20 minutes. They said, but it doesn't understand. Because still, 40 minutes were missing in a 24-hour day. Then somebody said, well, I remember. When the prophet Isaiah told Malachi that God would move them up, the earth back, the sun down back, 10 degrees, which meant God would love 40 minutes. I said, can't go back and do that, but God. Do you understand how big God is? Do you understand how God can work in our situation? So that we confirming God's word. God knows how to confirm his word. Amen?
Amen.
If God can do that with everything in the world, what can God do in our life? I said, what can God do in our life? He'll be able to stop the whole world, and then he'll be able not only to stop it, and then move it back 10 degrees. Well, if God can do that, wouldn't we consider our problems are what?
Lightning.
Amen. In closing, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Our problems tonight, they are a lightning. All it requires is us being obedient, us surrendering to God. Purpose to wholly follow God. Amen. Somebody said, every time I think I'm about to get over the hump, every time I think I'm about to conquer the situation, something happened and I get sent back again. God is testing your faithfulness. God wants to know, what are you going to do in the midst of the trial? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's go to verse. Hold on one second. Let me get it real fast. This one. I know what. Let's go to verse 7. This is one of those add-ons. This is an add-on, but we're almost finished anyway. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But our situations, I choose to trust in a God that can do what our God can do.
Yeah.
I never read well, Muhammad, Buddha, Sayyam, Moon, Hare Krishna, and none of the rest of them was able to stop time.
Amen.
On Moon Time Day. That's why I choose to trust and believe God. If God can do that, I know everything in my life, is nothing more than a light of faith. Amen. Paul in writing said, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the what? Excellency of the power may be ours. We But the excellency of the power may be of
God.
Our deliverance, our help comes through God. And not what? We are troubled on
every side.
Amen. But we are not dismayed. This is the church. This should be our testimony. Amen. Amen. We're troubled on every side, yet we're not. We are perplexed. We can't understand what's happening, but we're not hopeless. Amen. We do not act hopeless. We're persecuted, but thank God He does not. We're cast down, but God will never allow us to be
destroyed.
Always bearing about in the body the what?
Dying
of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That the life of Christ might be made
manifest.
God is just trying to show us His glory. God is trying to manifest His deliverance in us. Amen. Might be manifest in us for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made
manifest.
Amen. Whatever you're going through, God's going to manifest Himself in that situation. God is God. Amen.
Amen.
So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of
faith.
You got to have the same spirit of
faith.
Amen. Talk is cheap. Anybody can talk and talk, but it takes faith to walk the walk. According to the scripture, I believe, therefore have I. Amen. I heard Paul say, call those things that be not as though they. I believe, I don't see, but I will speak in the affirmative for what I know God can do. Say, we also believe, and therefore we. Can we say, I believe?
I believe.
Therefore?
Therefore.
I speak.
I speak.
I believe?
I believe.
Therefore?
Therefore.
I speak.
I speak.
The devil's going to try you. Stand on God's word. Stand on the promise. Amen. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also.
Like
and shall present us
with you.
With you. For all things.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I don't understand what's going on. He said, for all things and for what? Whatever you're going through. God has a plan. God has a deliverance. God has a way to make if we are faithful. All things are for your sake. But in order for you to get the deliverance, that the abundant grace may do the what?
Thanksgiving.
You got to praise the Lord. You don't have to understand it, but you still got to praise God. You might be worn, torn, and beaten, but you still got to
praise the Lord.
By the grace of Christ, through the thanksgiving of many, do what? Redound to the glory of God. Amen. Said, for which calls me? You can't be delivered if you quit. God can't help you if in the middle of the trial, you know, it's like, don't quit.
Amen.
Amen. Keep fighting. For which cause we faint not. Amen. But though our
inward man,
thank God, our inward man has been renewed.
Amen.
Every day we're getting stronger in God. Amen. We're losing it on the outside, but we're increasing on the inside. And as John the Baptist said, he must
increase.
Jesus must
increase.
Tonight, God can help us if we start increasing. Amen. The longer you're saved, the more we should decrease. But the devil has a way of flipping the switch. The longer we're saved, the longer more some of us are increasing. That the excellency of the power may be of God and what?
Not
of us. So it's time for us to take a diminutive role in our deliverance. It's time for us to give it to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
For our
light
is a light thing. Whatever you're going through is just a light thing. Amen. For our light afflictions, which last but a what?
Moment.
They last a moment as we all stand. But it says, but they work as far as a far more exceeding and
eternal
weight of glory. Is there anything tonight in our lives? But in order for God to do it, we must take a back seat. The excellency, listen once again, the excellency of the power must be of whom? God and not of us. We're trying to get deliverance, but we're trying to deliver ourselves. Amen. It's time to give it all.